Welcome to Pneuma Church Podcast. Wherever you are in the world, we are so glad you've joined us. Our prayer is that this message will reveal more of who our Heavenly Father is as we all grow deeper in intimacy with Jesus. Enjoy the message.
Good morning, church. How are we? Are you good? Hey, stay standing with me for just a second. I am so grateful to be back. I have spent the last 2 weeks in the beautiful state of Texas with friends and had a whole bunch of fun in the Texan sun, as Pastor Joe has already mentioned. But one of the things that really has blessed my heart is just coming back and coming back to this house and coming back to this church. I've been to 4 different churches while I was in the States, and I can tell you, there's no place like home. There is no place like home. So yes, thank you. I love you all, and we are going to get stuck into the Word of God today, and I feel like word that is burden on my heart for our church today. And I'm excited about what that's going to do in us and what it's going to do through us. So would you just open your hearts before the Lord as we pray? God, we thank you for your word. Lord, we thank you that your word is sharper than a two-edged sword. And Lord, we thank you that you gave us your word because you love us and you want us to become more like you and have the revelation of the word of God that presents Jesus to us, in whom we are being transformed into his image. And so God, today I'm asking, Lord, would you come and speak through your word to each one of us? May our minds be open to your word. May our hearts receive it joyfully and gladly. And may today we walk out of this place with an encounter with you through your word. In Jesus' name we prayed. And everybody said, amen, amen, amen. Hey, why don't you high five the person next to you, and as you take your seat, tell them you're glad you came to church today. We are in the continuation of our series around the Spirit-led life. And it was really fascinating when we were having a conversation about this series, because it came up around, well, can you really do a series for 9 weeks? And I was like, yes, we can. Why can we do that? Because this church is 100 years old and is full of people who have known the Lord for a really long time, as well as those who are new. And I believe that there's always something the Lord wants to take us deeper in his word. And today, I feel like there is a word that's in my heart, and I really feel like this idea that we've been following about being led by the Spirit, it's had a few focuses. From the first point, it was that upward calling to know him, and then it was that inward calling of transformation. And now we're looking at the next few weeks about what does it look like to be Spirit-led on the outward, and what that affects us and how that affects us in the outward life that we live. And I'm a little bit, I'm just trying to place what I'm sensing in the Lord in this moment. I just really feel a really burden, a big burden on my heart at the moment. I don't know if there's anyone in the room today that's been diagnosed with some sort of ailment this week, and it's really knocked you for a sixer. Or maybe it's somebody that you know, but I feel a weight of just this like heavenly love of God that wants to come and sit over you right now. I don't know if you're in the room, and even maybe if it's been that big of a week, you don't even have the ability to raise your hand today. But if you are in the room, could you give me a wave and say, yeah, that's me. It's been a shocker of a week. Yep. Okay. See those? Yep. Yep. There's hands going up all across the room right now, church. Whoa. Could you just join with me, church, in just praying and extending your hands to these ones that are over here in this corner and up here? God, I just thank you right now that in the middle of a message that you would stop and bring attention to broken, hurting hearts right now with things that are happening in their worlds. And Lord, I come against the attack of the enemy that would seek to kill, destroy and devour, and I break its power in the name of Jesus. And I declare over each and every single one of these people with their hands raised, the circumstance sits under the hand of the Lord, that a heavenly download of the presence of the Lord would be manifested in love right now, being extended to them, and that they would feel the undergirding of your hand around them as they navigate this season. And I'm asking God, would you manifest yourself in love to them today? And whatever the situation, whatever the circumstance right now, that they would know that they're in your hands and that you love them and that you work all things together for those who love you and are called according to your purposes. So God, would you let love manifest itself right now, bring health, healing, and wholeness in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Whew. Okay. Wow. Where was I? Where were we going? The outward life, that's what we're on. So Pastor Joe was talking earlier about the NFL football game at the MCGs this week. Was anyone else there this week? No one? One. Are you kidding me? Two. Three. All right. Okay, I was there, and I was quite blown away by the enormity of the crowd and just the nature of the game, but I was actually probably more surprised by the fact that the Aussies seemed to just be like oblivious to the fact that there was a football game happening in the middle of the field. I was kind of surprised. I'm actually really surprised that there was only three or four people from this congregation in that auditorium. There's like 100,000 people in there and only three or four from here. Wow. I went with a friend of mine and we went and enjoyed it. But what was really entertaining is that at one point at the start of the game, the Americans in the American football gave the good old Australian goal sign when they kicked their first goal and when they got their first touchdown. Did anyone else see that on the thing? I feel like my analogy has gone right out the door because you're just wasted on a few hundred people. But anyway, I watched this moment take place and I was like, wow, they really took the Australian culture and tried to match it in. Anyway, big day, it was beautiful. Look at Instagram, it was amazing. But anyway, as they did this, I had a bit of a cackle because the word that the Lord had given to me at the start of the week around the idea of what I wanted to preach about was this idea that the goal of an outward life being Spirit-led is love. The goal is love. And that was a real great launch into my message because you're all on the same page. All right, we're going to turn to John chapter 13, verses 34 to 35. And it says this, it says, "A new commandment I give to you, that you may love one another as I have loved you. That you also love one another, that by this all will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another." It's a really interesting passage that as Jesus presents to us this idea of a new command that we would love one another from the place of which he had first loved us. But 35 is the real capture verse here because it says, "By this all will know that you are my disciples if you have love for one another." Have you ever found yourself in a moment where you're lacking love? I think sometimes it's really easy to lack love for people you don't know, but have you ever noticed it's just as easy to lack love for the ones you do know? Love is this embodiment of who Jesus was and what Jesus did for us. And I find myself in different seasons of my life where I've lacked love. But I know what love is because I've experienced love, the love of God. And yet sometimes I can feel like I don't have love to give. Have you ever been there? Let's turn to 1 John chapter 4, verses 7 through to 12. And it says this, "Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. And everyone who loves is born of God and knows God." This image here is this love that is described is the character and the very heart of God, that when you are born of Him, born again, say yes to Him, receiving His love, receiving the fact that He so loved us that He gave His only Son, that while we were still sinners, that He died for us, when we receive this love and we know it and we experience it, it becomes an expression in through our lives. And each one of us are called to this goal of love, that the goal is love, that the call is to love. But sometimes I feel like maybe I don't have enough love to give. Or maybe I'm so self-absorbed with my own love for myself that I haven't quite crossed over to loving my neighbor. I was challenged by this in about May and June, when there was a season in my life. There was a few different things happening, and what I felt going on was this lack of love within me for other people. And it was almost like, you know, you're caught up so busy doing everything else that you don't have enough time, and there's always a convenient excuse, but it was like this lack of love that I was feeling. And the Lord took me back to my own experience as a five-year-old encountering the love of Jesus. Snapshot, most of you have heard it, but for those who haven't, at the age of five, I went to bed and fell asleep. And in my sleep, I had a dream. And in my dream, I heard the sound of a trumpet. And in hearing the sound of a trumpet, I woke up from my dream I was still in my dream state, but I woke up, I sat up, and I knew I had to get outside immediately. I got outside to the back door and couldn't get out the door. Eventually it opened, I got out and I found my family hovering in the cloud above our pool with Jesus and an array of angels behind Him. And as I ran towards Jesus and my family, I ran and I said, "Wait for me, wait for me, wait for me." And in that moment, He looked at me and He said to me, "You're too late." And as a five-year-old, I'm like, "What do you mean I'm too late?" I mean, I don't have any context, but just this Jesus that I'm experiencing in this dream. And as He looks at me and says, "You're too late," there's a multitude of people behind me being told the exact same thing. And in that moment, I didn't feel condemnation. I didn't feel judgment. I didn't feel like anything that was pushing me away. I felt this immense love of God. That He wanted me to be with Him, to be ready, and for those who were behind me to experience the same thing. And it was the love of God that drew me into this depth of relationship with Him. And the Lord reminded me as I was thinking about this feeling of not feeling like I had enough love to give. He was like, "Cherie, when I have poured my love into you, the overflow of that is a direct reflection of heaven. My love for you and you experiencing it caused you to become the five-year-old that everywhere you went, 'Do you know Jesus? You need to know Jesus. Do you know Jesus? You need to know Jesus. Do you know Jesus? You need to know Jesus.'" Because I had experienced this love. I look across the room and I'm sure that there are many of you here today who have experienced the love of God at some point in time, in which has called you to then desire to come to church and be a part of a community and a part of a family. This word in 1 John goes on and says, "He who does not love does not know God, for God is love. In this, that the love of God was made manifest towards us, that He sent His only begotten Son to the world that we might live through Him. And in this love, not that we loved God, but that He first loved us and sent His Son to be a propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, then we ought to love one another. No one has seen God at any time, but if we love one another, God abides in us and His love has been perfected in us." We love one another because we are loved by God. And those who claim to know God must be able to love one another. And when we feel like love is lacking, The Bible tells us that because we're born of God and we know God, that know word is the word in the Greek, gnosko, which means knowledge by experience. And when we've experienced God, it will show by our love for one another, both here in this room and those who are online and those who aren't here today, but also for a world that desperately needs it. See, this love is not about what someone deserves. It's a love that's based on who we've become because he first loved us. And I sat and I was reminded of this moment of a five-year-old and being reminded of the love of God and the experience I had. And my heart's desire was, God, would you baptize me afresh with your love? Romans chapter 5, verse 5 says this, the love, which is this word agape of God, has been poured into our hearts, not by self-effort, not by striving or straining, but by the Holy Spirit. But by the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. You know, this word love is the word agape, and there's four different types of words for the word love in the Bible. Agape is one of them, and that's the one we're going to focus on today. It's this idea of a sacrificial love, and its focus is on God's love for us and God's love to others. And then there's this idea of philo love, which is friendship love, and it's towards friends. And there's this sturge love, which is family affection. And then there's this other word, eros, love, which is a romantic love, and it's a marriage kind of love. And this love that we're talking about today is not the last three, not family affection, not romantic love, not friendship love, but a sacrificial love. This word agape is simply the kind of love that God calls us to embody. It's the love that drove Jesus to the cross. And it's the love that is selfless, it's sacrificial, and it's a love that moves us to respond to somebody else with no need for an expectation of a reward or getting anything back. It's an affection and it's a goodwill. It's a love that doesn't ask, what can I get from you? It asks, what can I give for your good? And it's a love that chooses to give. It's a love that chooses to serve. It's a love that chooses to sacrifice, and it's a love that chooses to remain. But it is a love that does not come through striving. It does not come through an agenda to push something. It is literally, God, would you come baptize me afresh with your love? I don't know about you, but there are days where my lack of love shows up. You know how I know? Because Paul gave us a test in 1 Corinthians chapter 13. And he says, this is what love is. He shows us this love. Ooh. Let's turn there. 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter 13. It's right between chapter 12 and 14. That sounds revelatory, doesn't it? It is right between the spiritual gifts that the Lord, that Paul talks about, that the Lord has given to us through the Spirit. And at the other side of it is this idea of what prophecy and tongues is, and it further unpacks interpretation of tongues. And it's this idea that sits in between where Paul says, I want to tell you about the greatest gift. And the greatest gift is love. Let's read verses 1 through to 8. It says, though I speak with the tongues of men and angels, but I have not love, I become the sounding brass or a clanging cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all the mysteries and all the knowledge, and I have all the faith, so that even I could remove mountains, but I have not love, I'm nothing. And though I bestow my goods and I feed the poor and I'm generous and my body might be burnt up, but I have not love, it profits me nothing. And this is where Paul gives us the test. Verse 4, love suffers long. Who's grateful for the Lord was long suffering with us? That he was patient. 2 Peter 3:9 tells us that while we were still sinners, he has this waiting and longing for all men to be saved. And it's this long-suffering kind of love that he would wait over 2,000 years for people to make decision to choose him. Are you grateful for his love towards you? It says that love is kind, that it does not envy. Are you grateful for the fact that God's loving kindness towards us led us to repentance? This beautiful picture of love is that it does not parade itself. It's not puffed up. It doesn't behave rudely. It does not seek its own. It's not provoked. It thinks no evil. It does not rejoice in iniquity, but it rejoices in truth. It bears all things. It believes all things. It hopes all things, and it endures all things. I think the love test for many of us is questions like, am I patient? Am I always kind? Am I always honoring versus envying? Am I insisting on my own way or am I easily provoked? Am I keeping records of wrong or am I rejoicing in truth? Am I protecting? Am I believing? Am I hoping? Am I enduring? When Paul puts this picture towards us, he finishes it with verse 8 and says, love never fails. But whether there are prophecies, they will fail. Whether there are tongues, they will cease. And whether there is knowledge, it will all vanish away. But love never fails. Sometimes it's really easy in a Pentecostal church to get really excited about all the power gifts and the healing and praying for miracles and all the things we do. But if that outweighs our expectation of God's love to come through us, I think we miss it. I think we miss it. I sat on a plane to go to Texas. As I sat in that plane and I sat there, I was very happy with the fact that there was a space between me and the person next to me. I was very content to sit there and do my thing. And I felt the Lord just remind me again, do you love people enough in this plane to actually have a conversation with them? To put down your own agenda of what you want to do on the plane ride or what you want to achieve, but actually just to love on somebody in this plane. And I feel myself being really stirred in this area of love. Love for the people who don't know Jesus, but also love for my brothers and sisters. You know, I had a conversation with somebody recently and I said, I love you. And they were like, because we had a bit of a, you know, one of those tough conversations, tough love conversations, we call them. You have a tough love conversation. And the person was like, oh, I'm so sorry. I didn't want to upset you. I didn't mean to disturb you or to, you know, to cause you to be upset. I'm like, no, you're fine. It's okay. You're a brother. I love you. But when brothers behave badly, right? But that's what love does. See, love is not passive. Love is not this idea of just like, you know, hide away. But not, love is willing to have a tough conversation. And I feel like today I'm in a bit of a position where I'm having a tough conversation with the Lord because he's confronting me around my love for people, my love for others. And I'm not the only one in the room that can have moments where we lack love. When your husband doesn't do the dishes, I guarantee you there's not a loving conversation that comes there. When your kids don't clean their rooms, when your kids don't do their chores, I'm guaranteeing you that there is not loving. Because we get this idea where it's Eros love. Oh, love. conversations. Love is willingness to actually recognize that we haven't got it all together. We're not always patient. We're not always kind, and we are going to fail and we are going to mess it up. But Romans 5:5, it is the love, the agape love that God has poured out in our hearts, not because we strived, but because he has poured it into our hearts by the Holy Spirit. Friends, I don't want you to feel like this is a judging or a condemning message, but I just feel like the Lord actually wants to baptize us afresh in love. Love for one another. Love for our community, love for our workplaces. Could you imagine for a minute what your workplace would look like if love increased? Could you imagine what your school or your university or your home and your family could look like if love increased? I sat with the Lord when I felt this lack of love. And I was like, God, you're going to have to do something in me because I don't want to live a loveless life. I don't want to be just so consumed with business that we just get on with doing what we've got to do, but I don't love the way he wants me to love. You know, what are the signs of love missing? A lack of kindness, a lack of patience, always wanting your own way, being provoked to anger easily, keeping records of wrongs. Well, I remember what that person did to me. Unforgiveness. Like, all of these things begin to be signs to us about where we're lacking in love. And if you're anything like me, it's easy to do all the right religious things and to neglect love. But our love is actually a measure of our obedience to God. Our love is a measure of the Holy Spirit poured out in our hearts and lives, and it stands supreme. And I'm telling you today, church, the outward life, the Spirit-led life, is that the goal of it is love. That we would know him, and that we would love him, and that we would love others. How do we win if the goal is love? How do we score if the goal is love? Well, Ephesians chapter 5 says this: walk in love. As Christ has loved us and given himself for us as an offering and as a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling aroma. To walk in love is a lifestyle. It's a conduct of our lives that impacts the lives of people around us. And it's really easy when you've got a whole bunch of people you love to love. It can be challenging in little moments here and there, but most of the time, it's pretty easy to love those in your world. But what do you do when it's really hard to love somebody? What do you do when it's a real challenge to love that person that gets on your goat, or that person that's offended you, or that person that dissed you at work, or that person who said something that offended you? Well, how do you love them? Well, a lifestyle of love is one that chooses to love and not to go by feelings. To let go of our own self-interest and to let love govern our words. To forgive quickly, to serve them and to love them. Can you imagine Jesus for a minute carrying the cross and walking up that hill, prepared to lay down his life? I try to occasionally put myself into his shoes to be like, God, help me to love you like you do, and to humble myself and to become very aware of the fact that I fall short in many ways. And as I sat with this, I was like, God, I don't know if I could have handled someone spitting on me as I was about to go to the cross for them. I don't know that I could deal well with someone putting a spear into my side when, in our case, more often than not, it feels like someone's putting a knife in your back. I don't know if I can love like you loved. And he brings me back. He says, Sheree, it's not by striving. It's not by your own ability. but it is by the fact that the Holy Spirit has poured out that agape love, that sacrificial love, to love like He has loved us. He poured it out by the Holy Spirit for you and I. Friends, I don't want you to hear today that I'm telling you to go love more and do more and be more. I'm here to say, would you surrender to Him more and ask Him to baptize you afresh with His love? Because to walk in love means we have to walk with Him and ask Him for the more of His love. The benefit of this is that the second thing is that we are encouraged to do is abide in love. John 15, 9 says that as the Father has loved me, I also have loved you. Abide in my love. This word abide is the Greek word meno, and it literally means to continue in a place or time, a state or a condition, to stay, to remain and to dwell and to continue with Him and endure with Him. Do you know doing Jesus time is not just so that you can check it off and say, well, I did my Bible time. It's actually spending time with Him, that dwelling with Him, that His love made manifest to you again would give you a new experience of His love in order to extend that to others. Abiding with Him, again in Corinthians, in that passage of the greatest gift being love of 1 Corinthians 13, it says, now abide in these, faith, hope, and love. And the greatest of these is love. And then Paul slips over into verse chapter 14, and I think sometimes we miss it. It's like there's a disconnect. There's chapter 13 and then there's chapter 14, and we separate them. But the flow on effect of this passage literally is that the greatest of these is love. And then Paul goes on to tell the people, pursue power, pursue healing, pursue miracles, tongues, interpretation of tongues. No, he says pursue love and desire spiritual gifts. You know, sometimes I think we get this around the wrong way where we desire love and we pursue the gifts. Give me the gift of healing, Lord. Give me the gift of miracles, Lord. Give me, and we pursue. But do we pursue love like that? When was the last time you sat before the Lord and said, Lord, forgive me for my lack of love? Would you fill me afresh with love? Would you baptize me with love? Which simply means to be immersed with love. Because I can tell you this, when Jesus walked the earth, there was moments where He didn't heal. And there was moments where He didn't do the miraculous and He didn't do certain things, but He was always filled with love. He was always filled with love. He was always patient. He was always kind. And church, I don't want to live a life that is purely about the religious traditions and getting things done for the sake of clocking things over. I want to be immersed with His love. I want to be filled so much with His love that it's not hard to love my brother. It's not hard to love my brother who doesn't know Jesus. It's not hard to love that person that I walk down past the street, that cut me off in traffic. But to be baptized and immersed with the Father's love. I believe the Lord is calling us to greater levels of love, that we would pursue love. Because the possession of the charismatic gifts is not a sign of the Spirit. Let me say that again. The possession of these gifts is not a sign of the Spirit. Christian love is a sign. spiritual giftedness does not equal spiritual maturity. It is not about what you can get from God. It's like, Lord, would you allow your love? I promise you this. When you get baptized with a fresh immersion of his love, everything changes. The way you do things, see things, everything changes. And my prayer has been, God, would you take me back to the five-year-old version of myself and baptize me afresh with your love, that I would want people to know you like I did as a child. And over the last 12 months, I have shared with you, I've done a journey with a friend of mine who lost his life in June to cancer. And one of the things that you navigate with people is this, well, God didn't heal me, therefore is he real? And when it came down to it, my friend messaged me back after all was said and done, the funeral's quietened down, things are finished, and she messaged me back. And I had a moment where I missed a call in the middle of the night. I think I shared that with you, but I missed this call in the middle of the night. It was a moment before he was passing, and I was devastated I missed it. My phone was on silent, and I woke up, and I felt like I had failed. I wasn't there when I needed to be, and I felt terrible. And the Lord reminded me of this desire of mine to be so filled with his love. And he said, Sheree, the reason you're feeling this is because you're so filled with my love. It's not that you failed, but you wanted him to know you, know me in a deeper way, know him, Jesus, in a deeper way. And I sat with this text message from his wife, and her words stated this: I don't know what I would have done, and I don't know what my kids would have done if it had not been for the love that you had showed us. It's the love of God that draws people. It is the love of God that compels people, but we are needing of a fresh baptism of love. And as the team come back, my heart and my prayer today is that you would find yourself in a desire and an appetite to be baptized afresh in love, baptized afresh in the Holy Spirit, who pours out love into our hearts, pours out the agape love. Because sometimes it can be easy to have friendship love for people. Sometimes it can be easy to have family affection for people. But sometimes it can even be easy to have romantic love for people. But sacrificial love is a whole nother game. A love that chooses to give, to serve, to sacrifice, to remain. And he has a love that he wants to pour out on us today. Romans chapter 13, verse 8 says this: owe no one anything except to love one another. Except to agape one another. Imagine a world, your family, your workplace, your school, your university, your sporting club, your mum's group, your gym, your friends, your cafe, your hairdresser. Imagine if the Lord filled you again with his love. Who wants more of his love? Why don't you stand with me? Lord, we come before you as your church and as before you as your people. And Lord, it's not our desire to love you and to have you love us, but it's our pursuit, is to pursue you and to pursue love, that we might be washed and filled again afresh with the love of God and be reminded of what you did for us and how you loved us. And Holy Spirit, I'm asking right now, would you rush into this room and into our hearts, into our lives, and remind us again today of your love for us? Would you come and baptize us with love? Love for you, love for others. Jesus, it would not be in a striving, but it would be because, Holy Spirit, you touched our hearts again and reminded us of love. So, church, why don't you right now begin to invite the Holy Spirit to come and fill you with His love, reveal to you His love, pour out His love over you. Holy Spirit, come. Holy Spirit, come. Oh God, that a Spirit-led life would not be about the airs and graces, the big gifts, but God, it would be about love. That your love wash over us, Lord. We're so grateful for the cross. We're so grateful for what you did for us. We're so grateful that you saved us. We're so grateful, God. We never want to take it for granted. We never want to become familiar. We want your love to wash over us. Wash over us afresh today, Lord. Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit. Jesus. Holy Spirit. We're going to worship. As we close our service, we're going to worship. And I'm just simply going to open up the front altars here, and you're invited to come and sit yourself before the Lord and ask Him to wash over you a fresh love. A fresh love. I honestly believe that it's very much the answer to the prayers that you've been praying for people to be saved, for things to happen in people's lives. It starts with love. So come on, let us make a decision today that we would walk in love, that we would pursue love, that we would abide in His love in this moment and allow Him to do a work in us that is not by our own striving or our own ability, but for Him to pour in what we need. So Jesus, come and wash over us afresh.
Thank you for joining us. We hope that you enjoyed today's podcast. Now, we realize that not everyone has had the opportunity to respond to the good news of the gospel. And for this reason, in all of our services and platforms, we want to extend to you the opportunity to follow Jesus. The Bible teaches us that we have been created for a relationship with God. However, sin, which is essentially disobedience, independence, and disbelief, or us simply missing the mark, entered the world and separated us from God. Romans chapter 6, verse 23 says that the wages of sin is death. And a debt was owed, and the Bible tells us that He, Jesus, demonstrated His love for us, that while we were still sinners, He died for us. Jesus paid the penalty for our sin. John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only Son, that whoever believes in Him shall not perish but have eternal life." God so loved the world that He gave us Jesus, that whoever believes in Him will be saved. All that is required of anyone is that they believe in Jesus, the Son of God, who came, lived, died, and rose again so that we could be forgiven, made right, and given the right to become children of God and to have life forevermore with Him. Today, you can begin a relationship with Jesus. To believe in Him is to simply to respond with faith in our hearts and confess with our mouths that He is Lord. And we do that through a simple prayer. Follow along with me. Dear Jesus, I believe that you are the Son of God. I thank you that you love me and came to forgive me of my sin. I repent from my old way of life and I turn to follow you. I receive the free gift of eternal life and I ask that you fill me with the Holy Spirit so that I can live a life of following after you. I thank you that I am born again as a child of God and that I am a new creation in Christ Jesus. Amen. If you prayed this prayer for the first time, we would love to connect with you and connect you to your next step. and the local church in your area. You can contact us on our website at newmar.church. Thanks for listening.